Where's my slide? Okay. Is it up? No. Okay, Shannon's doing her magic back there. Hold on. There it is. Yes, it worked. Okay. Yeah, y'all be patient because I'm going to be back there in a minute doing something, and it's not going to work as smoothly as when Shannon does it. So just to give you a heads up about that. Okay, I wanted to start off, you know, in doing all that research about attention spans and, you know, reading comprehension, all that kind of stuff, I found some other interesting data from Willow Creek. Willow Creek is a mega church in Chicago. And they are known for attracting people to Christ, making disciples, having a very vibrant small group ministry. And Bill Hybels, who started that church, he had this kind of holy restlessness, and he got to wondering, it was like, we've got people, but are they really growing spiritually? So their leadership team decided they were going to determine if their people were actually growing spiritually. And they did a survey. I don't know that this is the most scientific way to do it, but they did a survey and they asked two questions. Have you grown more in love with God this last year? And have you grown more in love with your neighbor in the last year? The results were kind of surprising to them because there were only 10% that by that criteria were actually growing in Christ. That kind of shocked them, so they decided, let's go back to that 10% and find out why they are growing and these other people are not growing. So they did a second survey. And why was it that they were growing? It's because they practiced spiritual disciplines daily. Things like prayer, fasting, worship, service, silence. Not much of that today. Solitude, meditation, those kinds of things. And so then they took a look at it and said, of the spiritual disciplines, which one had affected people the most? Which one had the greatest impact on spiritual growth? Guess what? Reading and reflecting on Scripture daily. Now, it's not just reading it, it's reflecting on it. Really meditating on it. That's how you hear it. You can just read it and not hear it. And we've all done that. You know, you read through and it doesn't mean anything and you just kind of go on about your day. It's reading and reflecting on it that is the thing that affects spiritual growth the most. Chewing on it. Asking those questions of the text. Talking about it with other Christians. Wrestling together with issues. Transformation and spiritual growth is a process, ladies. It takes time, and we are not in charge of it. The Holy Spirit is in charge of it. But we can cooperate by exercising our spiritual muscles so we're ready when the Spirit begins to move. And daily scripture reading and meditation is one of the ways of doing that. So that's a plug for Bible study. Why do we do it inductively? Well, the goal in Lamplighters, obviously, is to get a clearer picture of who God is and become better disciples of Christ, become more transformed and be more like Christ. It's not about us. It's about God, okay? Luther has a great quote. He says, our essential spiritual problem is that we are curved in on ourselves. We're curved in on ourselves. As we grow spiritually, we are curved outward. Inductive Bible study is a great way about developing a deeper relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, a deeper appreciation for His Word, a deeper ability to see how He's at work, to experience the Holy Spirit and be responsive to the Holy Spirit. It teaches you to be a critical thinker. And by that, I mean, if you study inductively, what you learn when you go to the text is the text answers you. And so you can discern false teachings much easier because you're used to methodically looking at a scripture passage without your own bias first. And that's a real value, particularly for a book like Romans. We all have lenses through which we look, but inductive helps you take those lenses off and treat the text as it is for the text, for what it is. That's helpful. It pushes you to apply what you learn. And that's the transformative step. It's not just head knowledge. It becomes action. And that's where the transformation takes place. And finally, it's reproducible. You can do this anywhere, anytime, any place, with or without anybody. You don't need a teacher. You don't need a commentary. You don't need a set of lessons. You don't need a study book. You just need your Bible and prayer and open to the Holy Spirit. So all of those people who take fabulous trips to Alaska and South Africa and, you know, other places, you can do your Bible study while you go, because you don't need any of this other stuff, the trappings. You just need your Bible. Now, for those of you who are familiar with this, you know, you already know all this. But for the new folks, I just want to tell you some assumptions we make in Lamplighters when we go to Scripture. The first assumption we make is that God speaks. The entire Bible is His word to us. It is true. It is reliable, not just for our salvation, but for how we live out our lives. We assume that God loves us. John 3:16 tells us that. And we assume that God will speak to us. God speaks not just to other people, but to us. That's an assumption we make, mainly because communication is the key to any relationship. And it is the relationship with God here that is what's important. And the final assumption is that you have a teacher, and that's the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit goes with you wherever you are. The Spirit will bring to your heart and your mind the things that you need to know out of the Scripture, will enlighten you about what the Scripture is, and that's why it's important to pray first. So those are the assumptions. God speaks, God's word is true, God loves you, God will speak to you, and God has given you the Holy Spirit as a teacher. The last thing, that didn't get on there. The last thing for you to remember is Bible study is not primarily about us. It is about God. It's not about getting it right. It's not about believing the right way. It's not about having all the answers. It's about meeting God. As John said earlier, he hopes we will have questions. He hopes we will have arguments. I hope we have respectful discussion. But nonetheless, that's a semantics that he and I will argue about later. God is way more concerned about a relationship with us than he is with us finishing a task. So much of us look at Bible study as just like a class assignment when we were in school, and you have to check the things off. And if you don't check everything off, you don't get a good grade. That's not what we are about here. All right? Don't feel like you need to check off every box. There's real freedom here to wrestle with questions, to not have them answered, to linger in the places where the Spirit wants you to linger. In fact, those questions and those wrestlings are good. That's the growth plate. If we can go through Romans and not have questions, then we're not really reading Romans. Because it's a book that will bring that out of us. It's very exciting. The last thing to remember is that we are on the journey together. Each one of us, our paths are a little different, but that just adds richness and depth to what we're doing. And I have found, at least in my life, that the person whose path is most different from mine is the one that God uses to bless me the most. So just remember that when you get into these discussions, and be respectful of someone else's journey and someone else's story and someone else's path. Right now, we're all kind of on this little path together, but everybody brings something else to it, and that benefits us all. So that's what I want you to remember. Okay, that's enough preaching. Yeah, Lynn says that's enough preaching. Sit down. Okay, I'm going to go sit down, and Lynn and Julianne are going to come up here.
I'm going to take this one. Yeah.
Yes.
Good morning. I'm so happy to be back and see so many familiar places, and I'm even more excited about all the new faces that I'm seeing this year. I'm Lynn Adams. Oh, I'll say a few things about myself. I am one of the lecturers here. I will give a couple of lectures this year. You will learn that I'm the one who gets the most nervous. I get up here and I sweat and I do all kinds of crazy stuff. But try and don't let that be a distraction. Just listen to what I'm saying. Don't look at me, and we'll be good. I've been giving lectures for a couple of years here. I don't know, 4 or 5 years now. It's not getting any easier. But I love it. I really do love it. Because I, what?
You get predestination.
Oh, thank you. I probably will, actually. That would be about right. So we're just happy for you all to be here. We learn so much when we give lectures to you all. Do not ever look to us as anyone who has all of the answers, because we don't. Julianne, would you like to?
Okay, I'm Julianne Hartman, and I, in my other life outside of church, am a mother of 4 boys, and my oldest 2 are now in college. They're at Wake Forest together. One's a sophomore, one's a freshman, and then I have 2 at home still, a 15-year-old that is a sophomore and a 8th grader. And so my life is very busy, and I've been with Lamplighters since my oldest was about 6 months old, and I think I'm in my 20th year. That's kind of scary. And I've been on the teaching team probably, 7, 8 years, just doing 1 or 2 a year. But I enjoy it. I enjoy the teaching part of it, and I still get nervous too, but that's okay. And I have a confession to y'all before we get going on our inductive, is that I have been putting our wonderful, awesome God in a box for probably the last 18 months. To 2 years, and he has broken out this summer, so I cannot wait to see what God's going to do with the study Romans.
Thanks. All right, I feel bad I didn't talk about my family. They really are very important to me. I have a son who actually works here in the music ministry. His name is Trey Warren, and I have a daughter, and she has a 2.5-year-old named Cooper, who's just the light of my life, and number 2 is on the way, due in January. So we're real excited about that. Okay. So let's, just for a real quick review, why do we study the Bible? Well, we study it so that we have a clearer picture of God and so that we can know how to make disciples of Christ. And there are a million different ways to study the Bible. I can't sit here and name all of them, but as long as you're in the Word, studying and listening to what the Holy Spirit is telling you, they're all good. But here at Lamplighters, we've chosen to study the Bible inductively. Now, a lot of you all have been in here a while, and you're thinking, why do we have to go through this again? We already know what inductive Bible study is. Well, yes, you probably do. But if you're like me, you may have gotten a little bit lazy about it. And so this is a way to sort of refresh it and make it new for you again. And if you've never been in here, this is obviously our introduction to you. As Jan said, when you learn to study inductively, you can pick up a Bible anywhere at any time and understand or ask to be enlightened as to what God's Word is for you. So that's the advantage over having to have a curriculum or a teacher. We want you all to be able to do that. That's really our goal. Now, I know this can sound intimidating. It feels intimidating to me a lot of times. But studying inductively is really nothing more than a scientific method of investigation. We start with the data, and the data is the text in the Bible. And from that, we draw conclusions and meaning, and then we can get applications for our life. So what a great way to be studying Romans, since we've already learned that it's a very sort of legalistic way of writing. It should be easy for us to get into. Now, this whole process begins with 6 questions, and these are the 6 questions you learned when you were in school, you know, writing papers, and it's the who, what, when, where, how, and why. When you ask these questions, you will discover some truth, and then you can take that truth and look for the meaning. So what Julianne and I are going to do today is walk you through the first part of the first lesson. So does everyone have one of these? If you don't, raise your hand and we'll get one to you. This is the lesson that you can download on the website. Go to lamplightersbiblestudy.com. go to studies, and you need to wait for the drop down and then click on Romans, and then it'll have each lesson that you can click on and print out. This is just for your convenience. You do not have to have this to study the Bible inductively. We just have this as a way for you to easily go and see what this week's lesson is and have places to write down. But if you're not comfortable using this, don't use it. Don't let this confine you. If you would rather just use a notebook or whatever, feel free to do that. Okay. Let me see where I am. Okay, there are three steps to inductive Bible study. I'm just going to call it IBS because it's easier that way. Just know it's the study one and not the other IBS. They are. The first one is observation, and that is what does the text say? The second one is interpretation, and that is what does the text mean to all Christians? Oh, good. Thank you. And the third one is application. What does that text mean to me? And right now, what I'm going to start with is the observation part. So how do we get started on this whole thing when we sit down to do our lesson? The first thing we need to do is pray. And I know that sounds obvious, but I can tell you all, I sit down and just start into it all the time without stopping and praying first. And what I discover is I'm having a hard time. Things are distracting me and I can't focus. And then I realize I haven't prayed. So let's go ahead and just start with prayer right now. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this opportunity to look at it. Thank you for women who want to study your word. I ask that the Holy Spirit just descend on this room right now, quiet our minds, remove all the distractions, open our hearts to hear exactly what it is you want us to learn in these words. And I ask this through Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay. The next step after you pray is to start reading. Now, what I do is I read the whole week's lesson first. You can do that if you want to. If you don't want to, you don't have to. And then I go back and I read each section. So let's just do that. I'm going to give you all a few minutes because what I want you to do is just read through it the first time, and then I'll tell you what we'll do next. Okay. Okay, I can already tell y'all are going to be good at this because y'all are really reading it. I read it in like half the time that y'all did, but y'all are really focusing on it, so that's good. So now what I want to do is what Jan was talking about earlier, and that is we're going to read it out loud. And if you remember that this was written for people who lived with oral traditions. So there, it was written for people who spoke this to other people. And so that's really the way it was originally intended. So when you speak it out loud, there's a really good chance that you're going to hear something that you didn't actually see. So let's go ahead as a group, and we'll read this out loud. Ready? Okay. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, regarding his son, who as to his earthly life was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was appointed the Son of God in power by this resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him we received grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for his name's sake. And you also are among those Gentiles who are called to bring Jesus Christ to all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be his holy people. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so now we're going to start asking the questions. But I don't want to rush through this part. If y'all studied Luke with us last year, you know we had huge chunks to read every week. This year we're blessed with little short ones. But that doesn't mean you can breeze through it, because as Jan said earlier, these are going to be really meaty ones. So really spend some time on this section. As you prepare your lesson each week, this part should actually take about half of the time that you spend on your whole lesson. So that's a pretty significant amount of time. Because this observation part is going to lay the foundation. It's going to lay the groundwork for the next two sections. So if you skim over this and don't really dissect it, you're going to get to these next two sections and not really have a lot to lean on. So let's really dive into this. I want you to be very literal when you're looking at this. Try to let go of any preconceived notions you have. If this is not the first time you've read it, try and pretend like it is the first time that you've read it. Try and put yourself in this scene, in this time. And then let's just start by asking those six questions. Now, when you're doing this, if something else pops into your mind that's not a fact, just jot it down somewhere, because likely that's the Holy Spirit prodding you to think about something deeper. And that may come in some of the next two sections. But don't get off course with that. Go back and start looking for more facts. So we're going to give this a try right now. Julianne's going to come out with the mic. Jan may be out there with the mic. Oh, no, she's not. Jan's typing. Shannon can do the mic. And we're going to actually, if we can, put it up here so that y'all can start filling this out for your lesson next week. Now, one thing I want to say, because I am definitely a list person and I am definitely a check everything off kind of person. I told you there are six questions. Ask yourself those six questions, but you may not find answers for all of them. Don't make something up just so you can check it off. Not that any of you all would ever do that, but so look, I want you to look for repetition. I want you to look for cause and effect, any contrasts or similarities, any kind of connector words. So let's go ahead and start with the who. Who's the author? Who's the audience? Who are the people? Raise your hand. Okay. Paul. Raise your hand and we can come to you if you want to add something. Or stand up and yell it out.
Paul, the most important aspect about himself is that he's a servant of Christ.
Yes. He's a servant of Christ. Who is the audience?
He was also called to be an apostle. Oh, well,
yeah, he was called to,
I was
no,
still
no,
on
ahead.
The who and how
yes,
he's described.
Go ahead.
He was called to be an apostle.
Yes, called to be an apostle.
Yeah.
Set apart?
Set apart.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, so what does it say about what's happening here? What's he talking about?
The promise in the gospel.
The promise in the gospel. Go to any question you want. Do the when, where, why, how, anything. Don't feel like you have to just stop where I am. I'll just throw some out. When was this happening? Where are they? Where did it happen? How is this? How are things happening? Why does he say what he's saying? Say that again, Deb.
The gospel is promised by God through the prophets.
Okay.
And it's an invitation. He's giving an invitation.
Right, it's an invitation. It speaks to Christ's divinity. Yes.
It's for all.
It's for all.
Verse 7.
Yes. Speaks of his humanity.
He was a descendant of David.
It almost seems like it makes the gospel a character.
Yeah. The main character.
I see a couple of words repeated. Grace is repeated a couple of times. Peace. Gospel. Paul.
Called.
Called.
Called. Called is repeated four times.
Apostle and apostleship.
Apostle and apostleship.
In all these verses, he repeats Christ Jesus or Jesus Christ several times.
The Trinity.
Tells us it's
in Rome.
In Rome.
Mm-hmm. Here comes your mic.
Seems like it's for the Gentiles rather than the Jews in Rome.
Okay. To all in Rome who are loved by God. So are y'all getting the idea of this first part? You see how you can really go through and kind of look at each word and see what it tells you? I mean, it tells, just in that first sentence, it tells who Paul is. He's a servant of Christ. As Florida said, that's the very beginning. Okay, so this is also a really good time to fill out that little summary. And the summary is good if you try and keep it short, like 10 words or less. So would anyone like to try and come up with a summary right now for this little section? I guess I should have come up with a summary. Come on, somebody. I know we've got some good summarizers out there. Okay. Paul gives his credentials to the church in Rome. Excellent. Okay, so that's the first part of observations. Does anybody have any questions about observations? Okay, then Julianne is going to move us on to the next section.
Okay, Jan, can you put back up the observations page real fast? The one that we did together, you're still typing. Were you typing the summary? There's the summary.
Yeah.
I've added a slide. Wow.
And so all of these slides are going to be on the website, so if you want to go back later on and when you're doing your lesson and look at it again, it'll be there.
I just wanted to point out, this is what we just did together. So Jan typed up what we spoke and shared with one another from our observations. And as you can see, they're just jotted down in like bullet point form. It's not in complete sentences. It's just whatever makes sense to you to capture your observations. Okay, so now that we've completed the observation section, we're going to move on to the interpretation section, which is the middle section in on your page. So this is the interpretation. It's really telling us or asking us, what does the text mean to all Christians? And the purpose of this particular section is to discover the meaning of the passage using your observations that you've just completed. And you will most likely spend the second most amount of time in this section during your preparation time. Your goal for this section is to really try to bring out the meaning of the passage. And there's really two purposes for the meaning. You want to search for the meaning for the original audience. What was it trying to say to the people that it was written for? So for our study this year, it's going to be, what is Paul trying to tell the Romans? Okay? So you're looking for that contextual meaning. You're also looking for a meaning for us today. And so you're going to keep those two ideas in the back of your mind as you're reaching and writing some of your interpretations. Now, to help guide your interpretations as you use your observations, you're going to start drawing conclusions from what you see in your observation section. You're going to be asking yourself, what are the main teachings? Can I recognize some universal principles that I see here? Themes, truths, promises. So we talked about some repeated words in our observation section. So take those repeated words and say, what are these phrases and words pulling together? What are the relationships between them? Pay attention to the figures of speech. You can even make modern equivalents to words in the text. One example that comes to mind is if you see the word denarii, you can immediately say, he's referring to a regular day's wage, and so you're placing it into context for yourself. This is an opportunity in this section to write down any surprising terms that you might see. So now then, from your conclusions that you're starting to draw by linking words together and paying attention to what's written there, is you're going to start asking yourself some bigger questions. You can ask yourself, what attributes of God's character is revealed in the text here? You can ask the word in question, why? It's a great question to ask. And that's the beauty of the interpretation section, because the word of God is alive. And so you need to allow the Holy Spirit to work here. Sometimes your questions will be answered. Sometimes they'll be answered over time. Sometimes longer, and sometimes it might not be answered, okay? But this is also a great opportunity for where your small group comes in. So you've spent your time in this interpretation question, a section, and you've written down several questions. Well, that's the beauty of your small group, because then you're going to be able to take some of these questions and it prompts some beautiful, rich discussion within your groups. And it initiates a great group time. So use the text to affirm and discount your interpretations. Okay, so God can take it when we ask the tough questions. He likes when we ask the questions, why? Why is this happening? What do you mean? And so you have complete, wonderful permission to wrestle with the text. Allow the Holy Spirit to work here for you. Again, Jan had mentioned earlier, this is really where your growth plate's going to occur when you're asking these questions and the Holy Spirit is working on you if you start questioning and allow yourself to sit there for a little bit. So there are some do's and don'ts when I think of the interpretation section, and so I'm going to share just a couple with you before we go and practice it. So I want you to also do let the Scripture interpret Scripture. Okay, so what do I mean by that? Any interpretation that you're beginning to draw in this section and that you're making from this specific text, you need to try to make sure it's consistent with the truths found in the whole of God's Word. So let God's Word speak for itself. Don't force an interpretation that doesn't really match up with Genesis to Revelation. Another do is to remain humble. Okay? Experience and meditate on God's Word and be willing to recognize that we can sometimes all understand things a little incorrectly. We have different cultural filters, and we all have a different cultural filter from the biblical culture that was in Rome. Okay, so sometimes it's simple. We need to try to maybe keep our interpretations contextual, and sometimes we might just misunderstand something, and that's okay. That's why we have each other. That's why we have the lecture on Wednesdays. That's why we have small group time. And so we're digging into that word, and we're wrestling with some of those questions. So I have an example of being humble for a second. So my sister and I, Martha, some of you know Martha, she and I are not good with lyrics, okay? So when we were younger, this is a specific story. We had a big riding lawnmower. We lived on 5 acres, and Martha and I were in charge of mowing the lawn once our older siblings left the house. And it was back in the time where we had Walkman, and so with a big Walkman, and she had these big earphones on, and she was singing away to a song. And she's like, "Who are you going to call?" Well, the rest of the words says, this is what Martha says, and then I'll fill in with what it is. Most of you recognize this song, "Who You Gonna Call?" Ghostbusters, right? So Martha's singing, "Who You Gonna Call?" "Ford Mustang." And she kept wondering why the theme to the Ghostbusters movie that was popular that summer was about a Ford Mustang. She just didn't understand it. And so we give Martha a hard time, and I'm as bad as she is about listening to lyrics. I never understand any of them. And my kids like all different genres of music, and I can never understand them. I'm like, "Can you slow down? How do you know the words to those songs?" Well, Doug and Brian, our husbands, are quite confident in their lyric ability. And so my husband had a confession this past summer that there's a very famous song by Boston, and it says, "All I want is my peace of mind." Well, until this summer, and he's in his mid-40s, and he's listened to Boston for a very, very long time and loves Boston, thought it was, "All I really want is my piece of pie." And I think it was really, he always wants a piece of pie. So I think it was just realizing that in his maturity, he realizes that a piece of mind might be better than the piece of pie, but I'm not quite sure. Nonetheless, even the best lyric gurus can possibly misinterpret, okay? And so the moral of this story is to be humble and to be open while completing this section, whether you're good at lyrics, like Doug thought he was, or if you're not so good at lyrics, like Martha and I, we can just be humble and recognize that sometimes we might get it wrong, but that we're going to be open to the Holy Spirit in this section of interpretation. So now some do nots. Do not try to allegorize this entire section and every single detail in it. Every little detail in the passage does not have a double meaning always. So don't try to put that self on your plate to try to find one. Okay? And also do not turn this into an intellectual exercise. Allow the Holy Spirit to work and let it come. And some weeks you're going to have a lot to write down. Some weeks you might be just on verse one. And you know what? That is okay. Because that's where the Holy Spirit has you. And that's where he wants to keep you. So release yourself from the pressures of feeling like I need to fill up this whole section. Release yourself from the need to feel like I have to understand it all. And just be still. And listen, and stay where God has you. So this is also a great time to recognize that we will have questions in this section, and this is when you're writing them down, that in Lamplighters, we really, really want to encourage y'all to stick to the text. Stay in the Bible. And this is a Bible study. And what that means is that we don't really want y'all to go and find the three best commentaries on Romans and read what the commentary believes that this passage means. Okay? There's a time and place for that, but that's not where we would like y'all to rest in. So if you are having questions, bring your questions to small group. That's why we do the lectures, too, as we, as the teaching team, we do look into the commentaries and bring some of that information to y'all. But what we would like to encourage you to do is to go to different interpretations of the Bible. So go to the Message. Go to the Living Bible. Go to the NIV, the ESV. Just find another text of the actual written word, and if you know Greek, that would be great. And we even had a leader read it in Italian sometimes because the word and the language is different. And so we do encourage you to read different texts, but not commentaries. So stick to the Bible, okay? And it will just enable your small groups to be enriched as you bring your questions together that are the promptings of the Holy Spirit during your quiet time. So Bible Gateway is a great resource, BibleGateway.com, which you can pull up on the web, different versions of the Bible, and it's just right there at your fingertips. If you have questions about how to find that, just let me know. And then just allow God's word to speak to you and don't rely on that third source, which is AKA a commentary. And that does, I hate to tell y'all, include the footnotes in the bottom of your Bible. So try to stay in the top part, okay? Because we don't want to get in the way, and we don't want that third party to get in the way of what the Holy Spirit has planned for you to study. Okay, so now let's take an opportunity to, we've already done our observation sections, and to move on to a guided practice to the interpretation section. So let's switch to the screen of the interpretations. Jan's going to write down some, and if y'all could write down questions in that middle section and draw some conclusions and see what we come up with as a group.
Okay, let's just start with who has questions. Did this bring up questions for anyone?
How was Paul
set apart for the gospel?
I'm going to go back to the his emphasizing that he was a servant of Jesus Christ and not going into his other credentials.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, why didn't he? I mean, the fact that he was a Jewish Pharisee would I think impress these people, and that he had the conversion on the road to Damascus and all that. But he doesn't go into any of that background.
Yeah.
How is it possible that God loves us all?
Great question.
Good question.
What about any attributes of God that we see in this section? His character. Grace and peace.
Keeps his promises.
Holiness.
Holiness.
Calls us and loves us.
Yes.
It's not maybe an attribute of God, but he lists the Holy Spirit or the Holy Scriptures as power and authority.
Sharon, did you want to say something?
This is all about the gospel, in that it was part of God's plan from the beginning.
Right.
And he says it's within the scriptures told by the prophets. Mm-hmm. And all of that.
Okay, Jan, do you want to pull up the slide so they can see what we just came up with? Oh, there was another question. What does apostleship mean?
Are y'all ready to move on to applications? Our time is quickly disappearing. Okay, so for many of us, this application part is going to be the most difficult part. It's very likely that it's going to be the shortest part. You may only have one or two applications for the entire lesson. And it may not come to you right when you're studying. It may come to you at any time during the week. It may hit you and you go, ah, that's what I'm supposed to be doing. This section has the opportunity to leave you feeling very vulnerable and maybe not wanting to share. But that's something that you'll sort of, I think, get more comfortable with as you realize that a lot of people have similar struggles and similar applications. This part is supposed to be very specific to you. Unlike the previous part where it was applicable to all Christians, this is just for you personally. And it's very likely that it's going to involve some sort of change, either in your thoughts or in your behaviors. And this is where you can sort of use the main point of the story to apply it to your life. So here are some of the questions you need to ask yourself when you're thinking about your application. What does this mean to me? How is God asking me to respond to this passage that I just read? How does this passage encourage me or strengthen me? Or maybe the flip side of that, is there something, some sin in my life that's being pointed out to me that I need to confess and repent? Set some really specific short-term and long-term goals for yourself when making this application so that it will become real and attainable in your life. It needs to be measurable. And if you do that, then that's part of the beauty of your small groups. There's accountability. Because how often do you say, I'm going to do this, and you maybe make it one or two days, or you don't even make it that long. But the part of this for us is being able to share with other people so that in love, with grace, we can lift each other up and say, hey, how's that going for you? You know, are you having any luck doing that? So that's very important. So let's think about some of these things when you're talking about an application. is there an example in this for me to follow? Or maybe there's an example that I need to avoid. Do I have a sin to confess? Is there a command that God is giving me that I need to obey? Is there a truth in here about me? Is there something that really hit you close to home? Is there a truth about God? So as you're looking at all of these, really pray for guidance from the Holy Spirit in this, because applications are really turning that bright light and that microscope on yourself and really looking at what it is that you need to do, you need to change after reading this. So let's see if we can come up with one or two applications today from this section. And I'll tell you, sometimes you're going to come up immediately with several of them. And other times you're going to go, well, I don't know. I'm not really sure there's an application there for me. Don't give up on it. Pray about it, because likely there's one that will come at some point. So does anyone want to try and come up with an application for today's lesson? I'll just tell you, when Florida was talking about what she was talking about, I was thinking to myself, it was such a good point, because what she said is Paul is a servant of Christ Jesus, and he doesn't list all of his accomplishments. And isn't that what we do when we meet someone? The first thing we say is, what do you do, and all that kind of stuff, and that's how we describe ourselves. So for me, wouldn't that be a great goal to try and introduce myself as a servant of Christ? Okay, so how can I do that? Because I'm not going to say in the grocery store, if someone says, who are you? I'm not going to say I'm a servant of Christ, because they'll probably run to a different line. So how can I do that? Well, I actually have a friend, and she and her husband have challenged each other that when they go to a party and they meet people, who can go the longest talking to someone else without asking them what they do or without telling them themselves what they do? Because, you know, we're defining ourselves the wrong way these days. So I think that would be a really good application, would be to try and do that. How measurable is that? Well, I need to set a date, I guess, maybe the next party I go to. But that's sort of what we're talking about. So does anyone else have one that they can think of from here? Oh, good.
Because I have received grace, I need to give grace.
Excellent. Okay, that's a perfect example of what we're talking about. It's a great application, but we need to take it a step further. And I'm not going to pick on you, just anyone in here. That is a very general thing that all Christians should be doing. But what is a good way we can do that? How can we measure that we're actually doing that? What is a specific thing we can do? Invite someone to Lamplighters. What about letting that mother with the full grocery cart and the crying baby go in front of you in line in the grocery store? That would be grace, right? These don't have to be like these deep, profound things. Often it's the little things like that that really make people stop and go, oh, thank you. I want to be like that person. Any other ones? Forgive annoying things about your friends. Yeah. Hey.
I was going to say, tell someone you'll pray for them.
That's a good one. And then?
Pray.
Pray. Yeah. That's the second part of that, right? Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Oh, I was going to say one other application was that we were all called to be apostles, so I kind of have a job description that I was given. So I think, okay, how much of my days are spent doing the main job that I'm supposed to be doing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good thing to look at. Okay, so you can see, I mean, I can tell you, even as leaders when we come into our meeting, there are many times when there's like silence in the room when we get to the application part. That doesn't mean it's okay not to spend some time really thinking about it and praying about it, because it is a little bit harder. So what I want, does anybody have any questions specifically about the inductive Bible study? If this seems overwhelming to you, just pray about it. And I want to say this, If you are new here, if this is your first time to come, we actually have some bookmarks from previous years that we gave out that have all the questions that you can keep in your Bible that can walk you through this. So if you haven't received one of those, when we're finished here, go back to Shannon and she'll give you one. Now, you may this is true if you haven't gotten one in the past couple of years. But I'm going to ask you all to be really honest about this. If you've ever received one and you lost it, don't get a new one. We just don't have enough to go around. But I will also tell you that on the website, there is a slide that you can print out that has all those questions. So if you have lost one, you can go and get that. Okay, now I just want to wrap up real quick by talking about what Lamplighters looks like this year. The very first thing Lamplighters is it's a home study. We really want to encourage you all to be in the Word every single day. We want you to go to the assigned scripture that week and prepare for your small group each week. Now, that's a really lofty goal. There are going to be times when you can't do that. There are going to be days or weeks that it just doesn't happen. Please come anyway. Do not ever feel like because you haven't done the lesson, you cannot come. When Lamplighters was originally started, it was started with the intention that women could come whether they were prepared or not, because the most important thing was for them to be in the Word that day. I promise you, even if you haven't done the lesson, when you come, you will be blessed. You will either learn something in the lecture or in small group. So show up. That's the most important part. The next part of Lamplighters is that two-hour commitment. We go from 10 to 12. I mean, yeah, that's right, 10 to 12 on Wednesdays. The first part of Wednesdays, there's a lecture. And that's one member of the teaching team will stand up here and give a lecture. Some of the things that are covered can be culture, context, the big words that Jan was talking about that we might not understand, maybe descriptions of God's character, just whatever comes to us when we're studying it. During some of that time, your questions might be answered, but they might not be answered. We might be making you ask more questions, and that's a good thing too. And then after the lecture, you will break into a small group, and y'all are going to get your leader in the next couple of days. You'll find out who that is, and you'll have a room assignment. So every week you'll go down there. Now this is the part that you get the real richness of Lamplighters, I believe. You're going to walk through this book of Romans with a small group of women, and hopefully you will develop things with these women like accountability and trust. You can share issues, you know, like problems you're having, not in a biblical context, struggles that you're having in reading the Word, that sort of thing. And it's amazing, as Jan said earlier, how much will be revealed to you from someone that you never expected to hear something from. Someone will say something and you will go, well, of course, why didn't I ever think of that? God's word is revealed in so many different ways. So just do your best to spend some time in the Word each week to come prepared. Come whether you're prepared or not. Listen to the lecture and then go to your small group. And I think this will be a really good year for everybody. So let's pray, and then we can get out of here. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these women. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit who helps us look at your word and learn from your word. Father, I ask that each of these women leaves here today feeling enthusiastic about this upcoming year, enthusiastic about Romans. I ask that you fill us with that yearning to spend time in your word every day and come here every week just in total anticipation, knowing that you will reveal something to us. I ask this in your son's sweet name. Amen.